Have faith in the vision. Ooh. And trust in the process. Speaking of Billy, everybody knows that his Bengals play the Steelers. And when when they go through their training camp, one year they actually had their training camp on TV. And they want you to trust in the process. They have practice things, and everybody runs drills and do different things. They want you to trust in the process, so when it comes game time, you can perform. Sometimes what we go through and the things we do don't seem to add up. Why is he making me run back and forth up the field? I'm a receiver. Just throw the ball to me. Trust in the process, right? Our scripture would be coming from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 13. And the word says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise and do not be afraid.' When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has already come, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands.' Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist." Quick review. We've been talking about, for the last month or so, faith, right? Some of you probably already faithed out, right? We've been talking about faith, and we've been talking about, first we started off with faith must start with your relationship, right? Your relationship with God. Remember the sermon, "It was complicated"? That was a good one, right? It's complicated. Sometimes we're ashamed of our relationship with Christ. Okay, yeah. We may have to go back again and do that one. Y'all act like y'all don't remember. And then faith. And then faith is belief in action, right? Remember, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Belief in action. That means you got to be doing something. It's not good enough to say, "I believe." Your faith should cause you to move, right? And faith is obedience. Some people feel like it's a choice. Some people feel like this is a game. If you're serious about Christ, you should obey what he has for you to do, what he has commanded for you to do. And faith by any means. Remember we talked about in Mark 2, the paralytic needed to get to Jesus. And the 4 men did anything and everything to get him to where he needed to be, even to the point of climbing up on the roof, knocking a hole in it and let him down to get him before Jesus. Y'all remember that, right? And last Sunday, we talked about blind faith. And I'm going to clarify that. it was already clarified, but if y'all acting like y'all don't remember the relationship, I'm going to clarify some more. So we're going to go back, and last week we talked about Noah. So we're going to come back to that. So we have these things about faith. And you may remember about my sermon of faith in action, belief in action, these things. I talked about how me and my wife went to King's Dominion, and there was this big drop. Now, there was some faith of that machine I had to take to get on that ride, right? Y'all remember that? Same thing with the plane, right? There's some faith. If y'all seen Flight, there's some faith to get on that plane. And also, I used the example of a chair. This is not faith, saying that this chair can hold me up. Faith says, I believe this chair will hold me up and sitting in it. This is belief in action, right? But what happens if our faith is put into something that is not necessarily what we should be putting our faith in? Now imagine you try to sit in that chair. Now you may believe that it's going to hold you up. You may even sit in it. But your faith may not be placed in the right place, and you may end up on the floor. You may just end up on the floor. So we want to understand that our faith must be placed in the right place. So your faith should be in God. One preacher said, don't put your trust in dust. Meaning, don't put your trust in man. Because, you know, man's not perfect, but God is. So what does that mean when we're talking about the vision? Because men carry out the vision. And when I say men, I'm talking about the church, humans. We carry out the vision, we carry out God's vision, right? And God has appointed someone to help lead that vision. That's the leaders in the congregation. So we have to follow that lead. We have to be willing to follow that lead. If he's doing everything that God has commanded him to do, we need to follow that lead, right? Because without vision, the people perish. If we don't have vision, if we don't know where we're going, if we don't know what we're doing, we're just running in circles, right? That causes a lot of issues. And when you run into circles, you're not going anywhere. You're going to end up, if you've ever been lost, you don't want to go into circles, especially if you're with your wife, because she'll let you know. So you need to have some vision. You need to know where you're going. And so there's this thing where we have to understand, what is vision? Now, the vision is the sight, is being able to see what is to come or what is coming. Being able to know, okay, this is happening, so I need to prepare for this or I need to do that, right? That's vision, to know where you want to take something, where you want to go. And what I mean, when I say prophetic, all I'm saying is that it's coming from God. Because if it's not coming from God, then who is it coming from? Huh? We already said we don't want to put our trust in dust. So if it's not coming from God, then who is it coming from? We want to make sure that the words and the vision that we have is coming from God. So we want to be sure that we are able to identify what someone with God's given vision looks like, right? We want to know what that looks like, because there are a lot of people out there that's talking, saying that God spoke to them. Y'all heard that before? Saying God spoke to them. And when you look at what they're doing, you're like, that can't be of God. That can't be. But there's a lot of people claiming this. So we want to understand what this looks like. Someone with the vision that God has prepared them with, has given them, has a spirit-filled and spirit-led workmanship. That means the Spirit is making them and causing them to do things that they probably wouldn't normally do. They're going above and beyond. They're willing to make sacrifices that some people won't make. Why? Because they believe in the vision. Why? Because it's not theirs. It's from God. And if I have faith in God and what he has for me to do, then I'm going to go all in. There's no reason for me to think or second guess or question what God has planned, where he wants to go. If God says go, I'm going. Bottom line. So someone with God's vision is gung-ho about it and ready to do anything and everything to make it happen because he believes that God has called us for a purpose and there's something that we all need to do. Also, somebody with that vision goes up. And what do I mean by that? Someone that is willing, someone that it makes a practice of going to God, being with God, spending time with God. When we look at the Bible, we see a lot of examples of how people used to go up. You remember Moses? What did he used to do all the time? He used to leave the people and go up and be with God. Jesus did the same thing. When the multitude got crazy, he went up. He withdrew and went up. Sometimes you got to have some time for yourself. And that's how a lot of preachers get burned out because they don't withdraw and they don't go up. Because this, if you read the story of Moses, you know, folk can get crazy. Now, we don't have to point nobody out. But not everybody in here is not here. But the people that walk into the doors, not everybody's on the up and up. Some folk got some undiagnosed things going on. You don't have to say nothing, but that's just the way it is. If you want to be real, because people out there need Christ. So the only way they're going to get in or get to Christ, they got to come in the doors. So that means we're going to be dealing with people that have some problems, right? We're going to be dealing with people with some issues. And so when you do that, sometimes that can take a toll. Anybody ever had to deal with somebody that they had to take care of for a while? That takes a toll on you. Sometimes you have to take some time for yourself. And if every Christian is doing what they're supposed to do, being in the world, working with people, is going to take a toll on you. So that means you need to go up. You need to take some time and go up. And when you do, when you come back down, people will know that you've been up. What happened when Moses came back down? They knew that he was up. And so when you come back down, you're ready to go. When you come back down, you're ready to do what you need to do. Also, when you go up, it gives you a different perspective. The closer you get to Christ, it seems like sometimes that's exactly where you need to be to kind of put things in perspective. When you're on top of a mountain, you have a better view of everything. So if you want God's vision, you need to go up. Are y'all seeing this? When you need to see where God wants you to go, when you need to see where you need to be, sometimes you need to get away. Some people say you can't see the forest for the trees. Sometimes you need to back up. You need to go up. See what's going on. Right? Spend some time with God. Let him place that vision back into you and revitalize you. Now, last week we talked about Noah. Now, Noah was building and preaching without a full understanding of what was going on. God told him, say, hey, I need you to build a boat. He said, okay, what's a boat? He said, well, a boat helps you float. So when the rains come, you're going to be good to go so you don't, you know, drown. So, okay, God, what's rain? You understand that Noah didn't know fully what was going on. And then he had to turn around and preach to other folk that didn't know what was going on. So Noah's coming out saying, hey, some rain is coming. They're like, what's rain? Well, God said that is water coming from the sky. Noah, water coming from the sky? Are you serious? Yeah, water's going to come from the sky. It's going to be so much that it's going to flood the whole earth. So we need to get on this boat. A boat? Yeah, it's this big thing I'm building. So that's supposed to float? Okay, Noah, you done lost it. But you see, when he had the vision that didn't come from him, he was willing to do it anyway, right? We already talked about this last week. This is a recap. He was willing to do it anyway. He went forth and did it anyway. That's vision. That's someone, you can see that, that's someone that has vision. Now, other people were following him, didn't quite understand. This is what I mean by trusting the process. Now, his sons were doing it too, and they're like, I don't know what Dad's talking about, but we're going to build this boat. I don't know what he's going on about, but we're going to do it. And sometimes just doing your part, you'll see in time that there's a method to the madness. Trust the process. You'll see that when you do what God has called us to do, when you go where God has called us to go, go with the vision. The man of God was given a vision and the others followed. Y'all get that? The man of God was given a vision and the others followed. And it led them to salvation. Now, why is that important? Well, we're looking for someone to lead. That person's going to have some vision. And we're going to have to be able to recognize whether that is the vision that God has for us. Right? Now, there's things that we want to do. There's things that we have to do. But for us, it's a different type of demographic. It's a different community. It's not like North Carolina. It's not the same thing. It's not the same type of landscape. There's a different way to kind of approach things and do things. So we got to figure out what's good for us. And God has given us a vision to carry out for our community here. And what do we want to do? Very generally, we want to be unified, a loving church, right? That's pretty standard. We want to be a unified, loving church, but we also want to be impactful. We want to be impactful and vital part of the community. We talk about it all the time. But we want to be so much of an impact and a force in this community that when something happens, people come into us. When they have a question, they're looking at Dover Church of Christ. Right? And when we do that, I already said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. When you do that, they'll be more willing to listen and hear. They'll be able to listen to what we have to say. They'll respond to what we're doing. Okay? So we need to have someone that's willing to set that vision in place so that we can move forward, so that we can do the things that we need to do and do it effectively. All right? Now, when we have a vision set in place, and we're following that vision, there's going to be people that are going to call us crazy. There are going to be people that's going to doubt us. There are going to be people that are going to look at us and wonder, what are these people thinking about? What are they doing? Someone said that you ain't done nothing until somebody called you crazy. We are going to be challenged. We are going to be confronted about the things we are doing, but that's okay because we're not following ourselves. We're following the vision that God has put for this church. Right? So we have to remember to have faith in the vision. And that's easier said than done. But to even start, first we need to obey God's vision. Now remember, in the scripture, in Matthew, Jesus had, he showed them something. He took Peter, James, John onto the mountain, took them up with them. See, sometimes people aren't going to understand what you're doing. So if you're one of those that don't understand, sometimes you may have to go up with the one with the vision so they can show you. That doesn't mean you're always going to get it. We can see that Peter didn't get it the first time. Matter of fact, we can see Peter didn't get it a lot of times. But when you put that vision out there and you go up, when you go up, when you spend time with Christ, with the person that has the vision, you have a better understanding of what's going on. You have a better understanding of what's going on. And you see that Jesus is making or trying to show them this vision. He's trying to show them who he is and what needs to happen. And they follow suit. Sometimes that's what we have to, all the time, actually, I would say, that's what we need to do. We need to have faith in the vision and understand that God wants us to go somewhere. We may not have all the directions or all the cards out for us to read and examine. But we need to have faith and the vision. If you want to get started with this, you have to obey the gospel first. That's the first thing that everybody needs. That's the first vision everyone needs to need to recognize and follow. Obey the gospel. How do you do that? Well, we say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. How do you follow that? Simple. You die to your sins, buried in a watery grave of baptism, and raised up as a new creature. That's what we preach and that's what we believe. That's the vision that God has set for us. And that gets you started to start working. That puts you in the family to start building on that boat, if you will. I like how I rapped last week. That's how we get started. However, some of us are already started, but we've lost sight of the vision. That's okay. Let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's get back on track. Let's start doing the things we need to do. Right? We in this together. I keep saying that. We in this together. And the first thing I said, as far as the vision for this congregation, we need to be unified and loving one another. So if we're going to do that, we're going to have to depend on one another. Have to rely on one another. That's the only way we're going to make it. All right? And we need to understand that there's things that we do sometimes that we don't. There's things that happen that we may not always understand. because when we work with people, things come up, things happen. But when you understand that we're all going to the same place, we all have the same vision. When somebody stumbles, you can pick them up. But sometimes we don't know that they stumbled unless they say, "Hey, I fell." So we gotta be open enough for one another to come to each other and talk. Right? That's why we have the invitation. It's not just so that we can sing a song and get out of here. And it's also, I would encourage other people to do it in their spare time. When I say spare time, outside of here. Call someone up, say, "Hey, I noticed that you didn't stay. Everything okay?" It all starts with us being vulnerable with one another. That's the one thing that we don't like to do. Someone told me that you're only going to be able to be loved as much as you're going to be. You have to be willing to. Hold on, let me get it. You're only able to be loved as much as you're willing to be hurt. That means there's going to be some vulnerability there. And that's how, if we want to be a loving church, this is how we're going to start. That's one way. So let's start. That's what this invitation song is for. So, once again, if you need to be baptized, if you want to become a part of this, we encourage you to do it. Don't wait. We want you to obey the gospel. Come up today. And if you have not been on the track that God has for us as far as this vision, what he wants us to do, let's get back on board. All right? And let's pray together as we stand and sing the next song.